Eliminate clutter and embrace the freedom of HyperX wireless gaming gear for PC and console. Power through all the great monthly PlayStation Plus games with the Cloud Stinger Core Wireless for PlayStation. Enjoy lightweight comfort with reliable wireless freedom, so you won't miss plot points when you head to the fridge. High-quality HyperX wireless products can be found at most fine retailers, as well as online at Target, Micro Center, Best Buy, Amazon, Walmart, or shop directly at HyperX.com and HP.com.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Ow.
That's dog for Gaiden. In this season, we are playing through Okami. In our last episode, felt like we beat the game. We were just short of credits rolling.
Was I supposed to play something this week? I thought I started Skyward Sword. What happened?
We saved the day, basically. We had all this stuff, and they wrapped up in a way that so many other games would be. A Zelda game would be rolling credits over the festival that's going on here. Like, literally, Ocarina did that. Majora's Mask did that, where it was just like, let's have a party. Credits rolling.
Okay. In that respect, I was going to say, you know, a Zelda game would definitely do the same thing this does, where, like, you got the things. Oh, no.
It's like a Persona game when you get to the end and they're just like, oh, you thought that you beat the bad guy. Well, you didn't get the secret ending, and you didn't get the double secret ending at the end of the secret ending. So you got to keep playing.
I just thought it was like, you're a teenager now. Like, this is the Master Sword moment. Like, you did it. Uh-oh. There's bigger evil.
No, in a way, it was just sort of like, yeah, you're... That was a small-time hero work you were doing there. Yeah. We're going to go to the big city now. We're going to see what's going on.
You've been out in the boonies.
We do have to... we're forced to enjoy this festival before we can move on.
A lot of that.
You have to... I think you have to talk to everybody. I think it's one of those things. Is that... Did you guys have to do that, or...
I think I did talk to everybody just from wanting to see what everybody said.
Yeah.
It was cool to see the other, like, the dogs and the kids hanging out. I forget all of their names.
I mean, Kokari is the forest child who we did fishing with him and his dog.
Is it Hayabusa the dog, and then there's, what was it? I want to say Ube, but I know that's not right for the other dog's name.
And then we've got, like, Mr. Bamboo and the Nameless Man, and, like, you have to do more than just talk to them. You have to interact with some of them. You have to get some of them wasted, and knocks them out.
I didn't have to do that.
You don't have to.
Oh, I just, maybe I didn't talk to one of them enough times, but I thought I had talked to everyone, and that was the last thing I did. Was like, maybe I have to do this.
Yeah, you can talk to, like, if you go up to Tama, he'll set off some more fireworks so you can see those go.
Yeah.
If you talk to the woman, the radish woman, she'll say, like, oh, check out these fireworks, and she'll get another specialized fireworks just for,
like,
her.
A dog, her face, and a radish. Yeah.
Yeah. If we go back up to the tree, we can see Sakuya again, and she is in, like, her full form now. Like, she is, like, this is her top form, basically. She thanks you for saving her and releasing her power fully and all of that. She even refers to it as the final chapter of Orochi or something like that.
Orochi.
Yeah, because Orochi's purportedly dead now, as opposed to just sealed away.
Yeah. We are told that there's two people
ran from the dead husk of Orochi at the end.
Right. I believe a couple of them do mention that they saw like some thing like go towards the city or something like that. And so that will lead us on to our next journey. We do get told that Susano and the maiden, I can't remember her name.
Kushi,
yes. Susano and Kushi are both missing, and they really are just like, they're off doing stuff. You should not bother them.
when you actually do go to where they are, there's not much of that until the very end, because I didn't see them. Oh, you didn't? Oh.
So I did not need to even see them either.
So, you can actually go into the tree through the opening area. I thought I had to do this. Mm. Through the opening area where we learn about how to wall jump and make the river that we swim through. And we learn like our first brush techniques. And then you keep going and you eventually get back to that giant statue of Nagi. And they're hanging out there. And it's this cool moment where the three of you are just like, man, that was nuts. Like you did that, and then I did this, and like we're brothers in arms. And Kushi's like, you are a special dog. I have seen some wild stuff happen when you've been around. I'm not telling anyone about it. You're always welcome to like lay low in town, and like everyone kind of has this cool moment together, and Eason won't shut up, and it's just better if he would shut up.
What?
And but you kind of, Susano gives away that he's always been able to see your reflector and your godness, and Eason sort of catches it, and only after that gets pointed out does he go, okay, no, get out of here, it's time for Doctor Strange, so you need to leave. And like, you know,
the multiverse of mediocrity,
like, you know, we've got business to attend to. But before that, it's just like, you know, it's like the end of an anime.
Once you talk to enough people, Isun does mention that he basically says, wait, you were told there were 13 brush techniques and you only have 9, so there's 4 more. Mm. We need to go find those. And it's like, he couldn't just be done. Like, it's not like we saved the day, let's rest. Isun is just like, no, I am here specifically for those brush techniques.
We got this.
Which, what I think is wild, he's like, oh, there's the three from the monkey siblings, and of course those all count as one. It's like, right. Really?
I guess, I mean, hey, if that means we get more powers, then that's fine with me.
Yeah, more powers are cool. We're told more that we need to go to the brush. Capital city. More bang for your brush. I like it.
I'm upset with how good that was, Brian.
As we do leave, Sakuya does sort of give us a farewell and does mention that she feels some evil presence out there, but she doesn't know what it is.
It's like,
just real ambiguous right now.
This isn't over yet. So like, you don't have any better advice for us than that? Like, I mean, I feel like letting you know that it's not over yet is pretty good advice. don't get caught out, you know.
So we go and run around. There's some more things for us to do. We've got a bunch of new techniques that we hadn't had before, so you can find some things here and there. We're not going to talk about the side quests in this episode necessarily. We'll save those for the beginning of the next one.
Does that mean we get an exploration episode? No. That's not this game. It's this whole game is exploration.
It is, and it's also just, like, really tight. Like, it's not as big as some of the fields are that we run around in. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot to do in them. There's a couple little mini games that we can unlock. Some are more annoying than the others, but there's a few things here and there. But really what we're going to focus on is the story on this one. When we go up to the city checkpoint, we're greeted with like a big bridge. We get Sakuya does mark a spot on our map after she says goodbye to us to tell us like where we're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go up to there, we'll come across a bridge and there's some people to talk to. They're all talking about like this bridge is put up because there's a disease in the city and it's hurting everybody and spreading quickly. And they're just like, yeah, I think maybe it's a good idea that this bridge is up.
Yeah.
But Amy shows up and we're just like, nope, that's not good enough. We got to get through here. You're like, we're going to, everyone's health be damned. We need to keep going.
Well, it's kind of weird because they think that there's a big disease in the city, but they're not sure because nobody knows. And even the guard, one of the guards is basically just like, hey, you heard that rumor about like all the stuff that went down in the field with the curse zones? Yeah, I started that rumor.
Yeah, you can be like, no, or yeah, a million times.
Yes.
And then, yeah, he says that.
There's one guard at the bridge that is just like, he's sleeping and not really paying attention. Then there's another guard that's just like, check out what I could do with this arrow, dude. he's just showing off arrow skills. He's just like, yeah, the bridge is up. I don't know. Anyway, check out this sweet shot.
Because ordinarily, doing this shot would let them know to drop the bridge, right? Because he kind of says,
that
like,
was my assumption.
If I needed to, I could make this shot. So I'm just over here like shooting buckets into this cannon or whatever. And yeah, because I hung out with these guys a long time ago when we first went through that area and was just like, nope, nothing to do here. But I, yeah, messed around. But you could, this time now we have the power of fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew exactly what I needed to do. Was it really obvious? Like with that scene? Like,
I mean, it was obvious.
There's a torch
the last
right
time
at the front
I was
of the
there.
Camera.
And I was like, oh boy, I wish I had firepower right now because I obviously can do something with this firepower.
Well, they make a big deal of pointing out that the torches are there, both with the camera and the dialogue. But when I walked into the area, I assumed we were going to use the wind powers to blow the bridge down because you kind of see like those evil air swirls, air currents everywhere. And that's just, as we find out, kind of everywhere in the next area, but I assume that we were gonna have to just blow the bridge down.
Mm-hmm.
Evil air currents, I like that.
Well, we did have to reverse evil air currents before, but so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the first time also I came here, the Phoenix statues were extinguished, and they say to you this time, like before, they're like, well, if those were lit up, then we would have fire, but we don't have fire. And this time they say when, like, Orochi let out its death knell, the statues lit up at that moment.
Okay.
As though the curtain were torn in two.
These were, I should make a section of the show that is just Jeremy's shower thoughts, because I had thought about this, I've been thinking about
Ryan's
this for a while.
Bible references.
When we're playing Zelda-likes, there's always been like this weird difference between what is like a Zelda-like and what we call like Metroidvanias, in terms of like they both have very similar things, but I feel like in this one, and this is very common, like the Zelda things, where your progression is always tied to story. It's never tied to like an item. Where in other, like what makes a Metroidvania that is that your progression is tied towards like a specific mechanic that you learn. We learn mechanics as we go and we get some progress, but it always inadvertently ties back to a story in some way. Where like in Zelda games, it would be like, you need to talk to these people and then someone will move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a big fish king that'll take his time moving out of
or
the way.
Now you can see this cutscene because you watched these other two cutscenes or beat this dungeon or whatever.
Yeah, or we'll take this fence down now or something like that.
You got to go and wait in the mountain gnome's dungeon shop while they polish your shoes and make you a sword.
Because it's not, if this was just a Metroidvania game, that fire would have already been lit and you just needed the ability to light it. But it was waiting on a story moment to trigger that before I let you go forward. And I feel like that's a very Zelda thing too.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where it can just be like, You can have the ability to get somewhere, but if you haven't talked to the right people to progress the story in a certain way, it won't let you go forward.
If this were Super Metroid, you could bomb jump or wall jump your way all the way up that bridge and over it and onto the next spot.
Right. Like this is an action adventure, while like Metroidvania games would be adventure actions, right?
This is an adventure game.
Yeah, it's an adventure game, and it gets broken up with some fighting.
This has some fighting and some action in it, but this is like very much emphasis on the adventure of action adventure.
It's like a 3D platformer than it is.
A little bit of that too, yeah. Like it's just a
if the platforming was better.
Stuck in a 3D, you know, free moving space.
Right. Anyways, this concludes Jeremy's shower thoughts. I need to have just like a shower sounds going in the background during all this.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners will love that. So we light this arrow that was it Ruichi?
Yoichi.
Yoichi is just lobbing him across the river here. And if you light one, the flaming arrow goes into the cannon and just completely blows up this checkpoint.
Yeah. I was not ready for that.
I felt really bad at first, except when you go across there, they have a bunch of cursed land that you can turn back to nature. And then you just make it all beautiful. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. These humans were destroying the land anyway, so we just took it back. That's all.
It looks like Fort Hateno on the edge of that field where Zelda blew up all the guardians. It's just like this dilapidated, blown up fort. It's just like this just all looks bad. But then there's a bunch of like death areas hidden around. So of course I got my brush out and filled them in with flowers so I can get praise and fed all the animals. And I turned around and all of the rubble was gone. I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right. There's just a bridge here now and it looks nice.
I was also reminded of blowing up Barnes bombs in Twilight Princess in the scene. So there's that, another Twilight Princess.
I didn't sit inside the house while it blew up this time, though, luckily for me.
Let's see. So we get to a new area here. And there's a lot of course, cursed land around here. It's everywhere we go. Isun makes a point of just being like, I thought we stopped Orochi. What's the deal with all this stuff still being cursed? And it's like, because we're not done yet, dude. Everyone's saying that.
Did you listen to what the woman said? Were you listening to her words?
I don't think Isun's listened to a woman in his life.
Exactly. Oh, she told us it wasn't over. Isun, pay attention. Please.
We meet some new enemies. There's one that we find that is like a stone statue kind of thing, but it's like you said earlier, Brent, like the fighting in this thing is so minimal, and I'm getting into these battles and it's just in my way, right? Like, I'm not getting into a battle and I'm just like, oh yeah, let's fight. Let's try out these new weapons. Let's do all this. I'm always just like, just keep hitting them until I'm through all this stuff because I'm tired of fighting this camera. And
I think it's a shame that, well, one, I want to say I'm probably more critical of the battle system than I normally would be because it's a Kamiya game. If this wasn't a Kamiya game, I would give I would give it a break, but it's Kamiya. We know Kamiya can do better. The enemy designs are all so cool. In the next section, there's an enemy design that I super love, but fighting them just isn't fun.
No.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys in this new area are just palette swaps. Well, not palette swaps. I mean, they're new models and new designs and stuff, but
yeah, little upgraded versions.
We've got like just harder versions of the guys with guitars, but now they have like a trident, or the guy with the drums, but he's got a big old bell instead. And it's like, okay,
Or he's like made of stone too. Like the like their skin has changed and just made it where like they take more hits now.
Yeah, so they're like the same but different. But then even with some of the new guys, it's like I'm looking for the trick. Each of you has a trick, an exploit, and trying to find out what that is annoying. And especially when there's RNG where you're waiting for that technique. When you're trying to bait that technique out, you can't always just do that. And so you could either just button mash. Some of them you can't button mash to hurt them. But like, yeah, trying to wait for the thing. It's like, Kamiya, I know you've made better things.
You're better than this dude. Please don't block us.
Some of my favorite things are in the entire world are referenced in this game. Proof that you can make great action games. Come on.
Another hard thing about the battles is that we have so many options that it's hard to remember what brush techniques can I use as a trick to fight this thing. So it's jumping a little bit ahead, but they introduce an enemy in this section where you have to attack it. It holds up a umbrella shield, and then you have to use the wind to knock the umbrella out of its hands, essentially. Like, it gets stunned because the wind is just, like, pulling it to the side. And that's how you damage it. Literally was trying everything I could. Had to look it up because I forgot that you can use wind in a battle.
See, I liked that. See, I immediately was putting it together of just like use the wind against the for its umbrella.
I
had like a funny animation of its umbrella like going inverted behind it, getting all messed up, and it was just totally open to get hit, and you could take it out really quick that way.
So but, I missed that one.
Yeah.
There's another way to get it where you can eventually bait out an attack where it flexes on you. Where it throws out this skull into the air and then it lets it hang there and then whips out its sword and destroys the skull and then moves in on you and messes you up. And if you instead slash the skull before it can, it just gets stunned by getting beaten in its flex or whatever. And yeah,
see, that's cool. Yeah, like
that's cool.
I like that character has multiple ways of damaging
it. That's cool. I now that I know about the umbrella, that'll make it a little easier. But see, that's the thing, is like trying to figure out what these exploits are sometimes takes forever, and I still missed that. And getting the skull to pop out is it has to be on the ground. It you know, it has to go through. There's another any number of tactics that it can do on the ground that aren't that skull throwing flex. And I just have to wait for that to pop out. And the whole time I know I'm losing points for my time because I'm waiting
I feel like we do need to move on just because we have complained plenty about the fighting.
Okay.
It's not improving.
Yeah.
It's still, I think that's going to be all the way to the end, going to be just an issue with this game is that the fighting is uninspired.
It's very linear, the fighting.
we do get an area where we can go and get this tree to bloom that I really enjoyed, where we have to channel the water up this spring, where basically it's like it would have these like it would be a thing where it was like running off to different little islands on here, but it's all dried out, and so we have to do a reverse waterfall carrying the water all the way up to the top, and that gets the tree to bloom. And I really enjoyed that little puzzle there.
You do have to fight the camera, but...
Oh, always. This is Okami.
It's really bad in this section because it wants you to... It's trying to be nice and let you know, hey, look, see? Here's a shot where you can see where the water is and you can easily draw it to where it should be. But I'm also trying to walk up these narrow ledges and I don't like the angle it has me at because I want to be behind the wolf and make sure I don't fall down when I'm walking up, you know, whatever. So it was cool though.
So we get up there, we get this tree to bloom, and that frees Ryoshima Coast, and we can do some more exploring. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll see what's waiting for us.
The Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast is on a mission to rank the top games of all time.
I like the idea that when Bruce Wayne gets angry, he switches to the Batman voice.
Why do you have such a problem making boomerang shaped like a bat?
You mean like Batman?
Not like Batman! Just make it for me, Bruce Wayne! I can't even with this guy!
It's a Herculean task, and I'd be lying if I said it hasn't taken a toll on our cognitive faculties.
Most people would be happy to have a job during a global pandemic. Dennis!
Hardcore Gaming 101, twice a week, every week, right here on the HyperX Podcast Network.
Eliminate clutter and embrace the freedom of HyperX wireless gaming gear for PC and console. Power through all the great monthly PlayStation Plus games with the Cloud Stinger Core Wireless for PlayStation. Enjoy lightweight comfort with reliable wireless freedom so you won't miss plot points when you head to the fridge. High-quality HyperX wireless products can be found at most fine retailers, as well as online at Target, Micro Center, Best Buy, Amazon, Walmart, or shop directly at HyperX.com and HP.com.
Video Death Loop is the show where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. Along the way, we'll try our best to make each other laugh and to hold out longer than the other guy. Come in on any episode. Video Death Loop, new episodes every Friday.
So we have Rio Shomi Coast here. It's all cleaned up. It looks nice. We do have a bunch of new higher level scrolls floating around. They're like red now. Like I said before the break, we're not going to get into the fighting on there. They're just a little harder now.
Yeah.
During the scene of everything blooming, we do see a sunken ship off in the distance. Now, I did say at the last episode, that's where we're going to be ending. Unfortunately, we can't just go directly there right now.
What? Why not?
I assumed you guys saw that and were just like, oh, that's where I need to go.
I was like, oh, hi. I wonder what manner of malarkey I'll have to get into to even attempt to enter that.
I knew it couldn't be that easy.
Right.
It's never that easy.
There is another dojo here that if we go in, we can learn two more things. Now, this I don't like because it completely lacks context in terms of us unlocking new moves. When you just like put mandatory upgrades in a side shop, there are two things that we get from here. We have a double jump that we can unlock, and then we have super digging, I guess you can call it. I think the super digging is optional, at least at this point.
Probably.
But the double jump will be mandatory.
Yeah, it would make some of those mini games easier and just your life a little easier. Some of those like burrowing mini games. But yes, you need the double jump for this. I was already out, like, intent on finding a new dojo, because homeboy was like, that's all I've got for you, man. You go on out and get on out there, youngin'. But, so I was hell-bent on finding a new dojo. I knew there was going to be a new one.
But we can run ahead, and we go up to the city. There's a couple little paths that you can go down. They all end up, like, stopping you. There's just closed gates. Again, story blocking.
Closed gates, colorless areas where the evil is still on the border.
People literally dying in the streets.
Yeah.
We go into the city and you can run around here. It is interesting that you can go to where like the water... I don't know what would you call like the river that runs through
the
city.
Yes.
Yeah, sure, the canal that they have in there. And it's all dried up, but there's a bunch of treasure chests down there.
Oh yeah.
And so I went running through there and I want to say there were like maybe 10 treasure chests.
Oh, it was a lot.
All through that. So
it was
there's some free money.
I mean, it was a good environmental storytelling because while I was down there going, "Ooh, piece of candy." I ran into the guy with the canal and I was like, oh, hey, I was told about you. Let's do this thing now.
Yeah. There is a guy, if you keep going ahead, you'll eventually run into a guy named Benkei, I think. Binky or something. I don't know how you pronounce it. Benkei. And he talks about how he can lower the bridge, but he can't do it until he says, like, the water is back and I have that thing. And all, so right now it's just like, go get the water back, come talk to him again, and he'll he'll say more.
I didn't run into him before. So does he, does Benkei not say why he's there until you fill in the water? Because he told me what his deal was after that.
No, he's, he says that he has control of the bridge.
Okay.
And he knows how to lower it, but he can't until the water is up. And that's all he says, until the water's up.
Okay.
So if you go run along the canal, eventually you can find a spot down there that does the digging minigame. And man, do I hate this minigame.
The first time it wasn't that bad, but this time it seemed as if you could actually make, like, wrong choices.
Yes.
Yes, you
where
can.
I was like, okay, I need to restart because I don't think there's a way for me to get over to where I need to go.
You can only get the guys to go up when they fall into water. If they are down on flat ground and there is like a solid black block in their way, you can't get around it. And they just get stuck there.
I even forgot about the water spout at first. Because I ran into the treasure hunter Bingo because he was standing by a pile of leaves earlier. So I did that one. And that one was a lot harder than this one ended up being.
Yeah, we can talk about that one on the next episode because I got things to say too. But we go down there, we figure it out eventually, hopefully, and we get the water back. Now, if you go then and talk to Benkei about it, he will then just tell you that he is the fisherman monk that is after 1,000 swords. And he currently has 999, and he's looking for the final living sword. And in order to, the way he talks about it is weird. Like, he doesn't specifically say these things until you, like, talk to him enough where he's like, I need a fishing pole. Go to the shop and buy me a fishing pole.
Yeah. Also very adventure game thing. Like, the more you talk, eventually they will just spell out, like, these are my base level needs right now.
Well, if you go to the shop, there's like four new items in there, none of which are for you. And so I'm like, well, obviously I'm going to buy all these, and then I'm going to have the scene where they're just like, oh, you already have it? Where I'm just like, yeah, because they were in the shop and I had money to burn.
I think it's really funny that, you know, all these people are doubled over in the streets, and yet the avenues of commerce are still open. Like, you have no customers, dude. Everyone is puking on the ground. Why are you open?
Well, gotta in sell. Case a dog shows up with money.
Well, because fish are really expensive right now. And so he's taking advantage of the fish market.
I also wonder how often people send their dog shopping in this world, because no one seems to bat an eye.
It's
everyone's
great.
First assumption is, oh, somebody sent the dog to buy groceries.
Well, it is nighttime, so I guess that makes sense. The other thing, the reason he's trying to catch the living sword is because he has 999 blades, which means he has won 999 fights, and he could just fight another dude and get his 1,000th sword, but he has a reputation now. Nobody wants to fight him. Everyone's afraid of his win record, apparently. So his last ditch effort is to catch a legendary fish sword.
So for context, this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, because Benkei is a popular Japanese folkloric character. I think he was an actual guy, but it's one of those things where he comes up in a lot of media and, like, plays and TV shows and anime of being this super talented warrior monk who harnessed, like, a bunch of different weapons. So, like, mundane things and swords and whatnot, so.
Okay. Now he must harness the power of fish.
Yeah, he
this
says...
his last discipline.
He's looking for the cutlass fish, a living sword. So we get another fishing minigame. We give him the rod, and he does the same thing where he's like, I'm waving the rod in front of the water, but nothing's happening.
I like that... And you said this was kind of dumb and annoying because you just bought everything in the store, but I didn't spend anything yet because I was eyeing that $100,000 sword or 100,000 yen sword. So I didn't spend anything quite yet. And so he was like, hey, go buy this fishing rod. And I get there and there's two different fishing rods. He wants the one that is less expensive. And so I was like, oh, cool. I'm glad I didn't just, I guess I'll buy a fishing rod. I might as well buy the most expensive one, right? That'll be the best. I've played an RPG before. And then show up and him be like, nah, that piece of crap. No, I need a better, I need the one that's, you know, this one or a different one.
We do the fishing mini game. I'm fine with the fishing mini game. It's okay. We do the same thing where we get the third fish is the big fish. We get this giant long silver snake fish thing. And then he gets it and is immediately disappointed.
Yeah.
He's just like, wait, this isn't a sword at all. And they were like, well, no, it's a fish, man. Like,
but it's a big cutlass fish.
You were just
getting
a fish. It's a cutlass fish.
I mean, you know, it's silver like a sword and it has a name like a sword. So, yeah.
So we go and do that with the water up with him. He has his 1000 sword. He's fine. He lowers the bridge for us. We can move on. And this is where Isun continues his cancellation tour of just making us like really, really upset with this character. But like in general, you have to be upset not only with the character, but with the character design of the person that he's lusting after. And like also the audio designer of this too, whoever made this music.
The people who made this game. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
It's very much presentation on their part.
This is why Akumi Nakamura got sent to horny jail.
we meet Priestess Reo here, and they will not stop talking about her breasts.
They're all in line. Well, they're just talking about how pretty she is. The soldiers are complaining that there's more people here. One, because there's a panic of some proportion happening in town, and the rulers aren't doing anything about it. We hear a lot about Princess Himiko when we get in here, and everyone's just like, yeah, she's nowhere to be found. Hopefully she's praying for us, because everyone kind of blames her for not doing anything while the entire population gets sick and is dying. But yeah, everyone complains about Princess Himiko, but it would seem that the Reo is here in her stead.
But every time she says anything, Isun has to comment on her body.
There's a
and
lot.
It's she just sort of ignores it.
She doesn't hear it.
Isun is the only one talking. Like, yeah. It's not that she doesn't hear it. It's just like she just does not respond to
Well, no, I mean, she doesn't hear, she doesn't get what he's saying. Like, it's not,
that's he's true.
Not
she doesn't,
catching
yeah.
her, she's not catching his drift.
Right. I don't want to get into all the things that Isun says. He's right. It's so many innuendos. And the music the whole time has moaning and giggling in it.
Yeah.
And that is her theme song.
It's like it's
very
like the
upsetting.
Background to the intro to Stankonia, except no one's saying we're bouncing on top of that. I guess Eason's kind of saying we're bouncing. I don't know. I keep trying to like think, like I had the realization this playing this section, like I think they want you to think of Eason as like Master Roshi or something like that, like just an old man, sort of inappropriate, but like I can't stop thinking of him as the like Richard Dawson Family Feud host that would just openly kiss women, every woman on the Family Feud, like every episode, and I'm just like, Isun, this is, you're inappropriate. Like, this isn't comical. I don't find this funny. You're an intoxicated game show host.
not to excuse it, but also it's just a very Japanese thing. This is the kind of stuff that was in so many games, so many very popular games made in Japan, of just throwing some sex things there. I mean, I'm thinking of like Metal Gear Solid. You would find swimsuit magazines and you would put them down on the ground, and it was like the most powerful weapon, because you could just completely incapacitate a guard, and they would just be totally distracted by that, more
boobies.
So than like anything else. And you wouldn't set off alarms. There wouldn't be people. The other guards wouldn't look at him to be like, oh, this one's knocked out. They would just be like, huh? Oh, oh, oh. And it was just like that. It was such a common thing. Okami did not stand out in the way at that time. We look back on it. It's very problematic. This game coming out now would have been an issue.
See, even Kojima grew up and realized that he could use cassette recordings of fart noises to distract guys in the future, and that's actually growth right there.
Right, he moved on to poop and pee jokes in Death Stranding, so.
Which is actually more mature, really.
That's growth right there. But Rayo says basically she can't do anything because she doesn't have her prayer slips. They have disappeared, and this is just This was weird, because this is just a fetch quest, right? She says that we can just move on, and then those prayer slips are just sitting off to the side. You go down this one path, and they are just sitting there.
I mean, you can also explore the aristocracy quarter of the town.
There's a very clear reason why this happened that we can discuss in the next episode, because it's clear that they did this for that reason, thinking it was going to inform the player, and then later they had to literally be like, no.
Yeah, this is true.
Do
this is 100% true.
Specifically.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah. We will get back to that. We get her prayer slips, and then she joins us on our journey. She jumps on her back and is riding along with us. She's actually
like
the most...
We have a number of passengers in this game. Like,
right.
It's not just Midna on your back the whole time. There's always like a different person for different, whatever reason, any number of reasons that we're like, yeah, no, I'm coming with you.
Oh wait, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. She doesn't jump on us at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, she thanks us, and then she just leaves and does her own thing, and then talks about like
here.
She talks about going to the ghost ship
behind the bleachers
and,
at midnight.
Well, so this is where things get a little cryptic, because they don't specifically say that. They keep saying there is some evil coming from the ocean, and it has something to do with the sea dragon out there, and
the water
all
dragon.
Of this stuff.
You do hear a lot about the water dragon.
They don't even say specifically that the evil's coming from the ocean. They just say that there's something clearly wrong in the castle. And then they say that there's this great evil that they haven't mentioned before that's outside of Orochi. And then we have Waka's reference to heaven, which did we even go over
Waka
that?
Waka is here.
Right, we didn't even bring that up. We ran into Waka, and Waka's being real cagey about what he's doing. But then also basically says he's trying to ascend to heaven to dethrone God, which typically I'm for. But in this case, I'm not on Team Waka.
Man, I'm still waffling back and forth. Like, you'll hear me at the end of the last one. I was like, man, Waka, like, mask off at this point. And then this discussion, I'm just like, dude, I'm here. How do we kill God? What's up?
Waka is your friend's cousin that your friend insists you bring along, but you don't like your friend's cousin at all. He cannot be trusted. Like, maybe I'm the only person who has a friend with that cousin.
I know exactly what you're talking
like
about.
Like, he'll have your back to a point.
You can have some fun with him occasionally, but then also you got to, like, keep an eye on your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably named Trevor or Sean. He escalates things way too quickly.
So we go running around, and
She does basically come right out and say, like, You know, it's in the lunar lagoon. The tide only recedes when the moon is seen from the moon turret. It's easier right. to get to the treasure ship when the tide's out.
But I thought she said specifically the new moon, and we can't draw a crescent moon. We can't draw a new moon.
We draw when you get up on top of the moon platform, when you're fulfilling your duties as the moon patrol. There, an emblem of a, I guess it would be a waxing crescent appears, and if you then make the waning crescent, they then cancel each other out.
Classic moon math. Quick moon math.
I was like, this should be a full moon, right? Or at the very least, like the cornea, the cornea of a moon. But I guess they cancel. It's math. It's simple moon math,
right? But we can go jump down there. The like Moses, we have parted the ocean here, and we can go down into there.
We've made a moon shaped part in the ocean.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I bet Moses could do that. He could part to make a channel, but if he wanted his own little like secret hiding spot, he could also do that too.
He had some skills. He could work some, you know, things.
We just didn't see him all.
Maybe some archways, you know, some high raised ceilings.
Yeah, you gotta read the Bible after dark. Anyway.
He had a great housekeeping magazine.
This leads us to the sunken ship, the entrance of there, and this is where we are going to wrap up this episode. For our next episode, I don't want to necessarily like give it away exactly, but you got to shrink down and you got to go into a hole.
Go back to... Oh, okay, Ethan. I would say go back to where you got the prayer slips. I guess... I don't know.
I don't know. Follow. We're going to find an item, and the item is going to tell us to go to a direction. We're going to go there, and then shortly after a cutscene, when we arrive at that place, there's a save station. You can go there. That's where we're going to wrap up that next episode.
Okay. All right.
In the meantime, we've got to explore this ship. We're also going to be talking about some of the side quests that we have skipped over. Just going back there, saying some things that are there throughout this world. Do all that. Meet back here and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Oh. Kaiden.